Amen. Thank God for the challenge to finish well. And appreciate these ladies, girls, using their talents, developing their talents. We're losing that in the Baptist church. You know that? Amen. We got a lot of, and I'm not against using canned music. I'm not against that. But I'm here to tell you, we better develop talents that are raw and real. Whether it's to play or sing or whatever, we better learn to cultivate them, or one day we'll lose them. God help us. It's come time for preaching the second message. I appreciate Brother David Epps. He's with a missionary with the Gulf Coast Prison Ministries, and this man has been a blessing to me and my wife. I appreciate he and Miss Pat, they're a blessing to us. Came by our church here just a couple of months ago, preached for us, and we took them on in their mission work. But you pray for him. Ask God to help him, touch him this morning. He'll have something to say that'll help you. I love you. Appreciate you.
Right. I guess this ain't on. Is it on? It's on. All right. Well, I hate that Steve did so good. I really do. I hate he done so well. And I was praying it wouldn't go that way. I heard this here a while back about, you know, folks don't really respect the man of God. And 1 Thessalonians 5, it said to honor them that hold you in the Lord and admonish you, esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Supposed to respect the man of God. This fella called this church, and this pastor had an assistant pastor, and assistant pastor answered the phone and said, "Hello, can I help you?" And he said, "Yeah, I want to speak to the big dog." He said, "The big dog?" He said, "Yeah, the main hog at the trough." He said, "Buddy, we don't refer to our pastor in such terms as that, and we really don't appreciate you doing it, but what do you want?" He said, "Well, I just sold some land, and I had $10,000 I wanted to give this church." And he said, "Well, I believe the big pig just came in." So anyway, so much for that. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Well, you've been up on the mountain, and you're getting ready to come down. No, kidding. Really. You pray for me. I'm nervous. I can't hardly talk. I didn't know I stuttered until I got up here, but that thing works good for Rocky Shelton, but it ain't working for me too good. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 in verse 17. Paul writing here what the Holy Ghost told him to. He said, "But we, brethren, being taken from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavor the more abundantly to see your face with great desire. Wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. For what is our hope, our joy, our crown of rejoicing, are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For ye are our glory and joy." Father, we do thank you for this great honor and this privilege. Please, we pray as humbly and as we know how that you'd touch us. Let us be ourselves. God, Holy Ghost would use us and be a blessing and a help to these that's come and pleasing to thee. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Here in this verse here, he's Paul writing, "Wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us." And I know you know that word. That word means to cut a trench between oneself and an advancing foe. It means to prevent his progress. The devil, he hindered Paul. He hinders us. He tries to put a trench or an obstacle in our way to keep us from making any progress towards God. And we know that Satan used Paul, or his name was Saul, before he got converted, in a great way to wreak havoc upon the church and cause Christians to blaspheme and imprison some, and he stood and consented to the stoning death of the great Saint Stephen. But we know God smote him blind in Acts chapter 9. He got converted and he became the Apostle Paul, and he was the apostle to the Gentile world. If you're not a blood-born Orthodox Jew, you're a Gentile, and if you're saved this morning, you're a descendant of this man's ministry. Thank God. I'm glad he got in. Satan hindered us. 2 Corinthians 2:11, it said, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Well, there's some folks seem to be. Amen. Some folks, I think 2 Peter 3 talks about, we know these things, that we're to be careful lest we get led away with the error of the wicked and fall from our own steadfastness. And so he tries to hinder us and keep us from going forward. He used the Apostle Paul before he got converted in a great way, but after Paul got saved, he hated the very ground that he walked on. You know, he used me and he used you, amen, for his own purpose. But you know, since you've got saved, he hates the very ground that you walk on. And he does all he can do to tear up the road and to keep you from making any forward progress. If the Lord be my helper this morning, I want to preach on some places that Satan hates. Amen. And he hates you. He's a liar and the father of it. He cannot tell the whole truth, nothing but the truth. So help him God, without taking the scripture out of context and risking it to our own destruction. First of all, this morning, he hates salvation's place. He hates it on either side. Before you get saved, he'll tell you are saved. After you get saved, he'll tell you not saved. He's a liar and the father of it. Amen. And I believe in an oh-so salvation. These things have been written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. These things have been written. Well, if you don't read what's written, you're not going to know much. Amen. And I know I don't run around trying to preach doubt on somebody all the time. But you know, since I've been saved, I think over in John chapter 6, he said to them 12, we also go away. Simon Peter said, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure. There has been a time I believe, but I've not been too sure. Amen. I believe that's right. I believe in an oh-so salvation, but you got to learn some things. Amen. How to defend yourself against the doubts and the fears the devil will flood your mind with. I was in a meeting some years ago, a meeting somewhat like this, got the privilege of preaching it, and some others did, and a young lady came forward in the meeting weeping, broken, and they got down and prayed with her and talked to her, and when she got up, the preacher had asked her, or the person working with him, rather, asked her why she came forward. She said, I was sitting in the back next to this person, and they said, if you doubt you're saved, you're not. Well, that may be so, but that's not always the case. Amen. Amen. You say, preacher, have you ever doubted you're saved? I never did doubt it till I got it. Amen. There was no conflict, was no struggle, was no battle until you signed up. When you sign up, the war's on. Amen. I'm telling you, neighbor, but you know, when you first get saved, I got saved, and I'm not boasting about it, just a vile, vulgar man. God saved me, didn't know anything about how to live for God, but I wanted to. Amen. You know, when you get saved, the want to comes automatic to live right. Amen. If you don't want to live right, you ain't never got right. Because you ever got right and you ain't right, you want to get right. Amen. Isn't that right? If you ever got right and you ain't right, you want to get right. You've been right. Sure. See, it's not you, but it's him in you. It's that new man. He wants to live right, but sometimes he just don't know how right away. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, this may be the wrong message, but I'm too far into it to back out now. I got saved in a church. Some believed you could lose it. Some believed it was forever. I never tried to live for God. I never knew him before. And I was struggling getting a footing, getting a foundation under me. I just a baby in the Lord. Didn't know anything about the Bible. Didn't know all that had transpired. I didn't know the flesh lust against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. I didn't understand the conflict that was going on. I didn't know how to arm myself. Finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord, power of his might, put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers of darkness, against rules of darkness of this world, against spiritual wicked high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand evil day. Done all to do to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with the truth, having on the breastplate of right, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith shall be quenched all the fire darts of the wicked. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer, supplication in the Spirit, watching therefore with all prayer and supplication for all saints. I ought to get an amen out of somebody on that. I worked hard on that, hallelujah. But I'll tell you what, I didn't know all that stuff. I walked in Fairview Bible Baptist Church 43 plus years ago on a Sunday morning at 11:30. Just a long-haired hippie with a pair of bell-bottom breeches on, a t-shirt with a peace sign on it, needle tracks in both my arms, smell of whiskey and beer on my breath, depressed on my way to heaven. By 15 after 12, I've blood-washed, born of the Holy Ghost, sealed under the devil, been on my way to heaven for 43 plus years. Hallelujah. So if I'm going to preach like this, I'm going to have to give it smoking up. Hallelujah. Amen. Tell you God's honest truth. If I get to heaven and find out it wasn't such a bad thing, drink a little wine, smoke a cigar, I'm going to whoop some of these Baptist preachers. Amen. They won't let you do nothing. Praise God. I'd ask some of them in that church, I said, I was struggling, you know. I get sin in my life, think I was lost again, but I didn't understand why I was so miserable. So I asked some of them, are we saved forever or can I lose it? They said, I don't know. I'm going to live right, make sure I make it. I knew then I was in big trouble if it depended on me living right. Amen. Hallelujah. So I quit asking stupid people about it. I got to read my Bible. That'll help you. Hallelujah. I found out that Jesus said he's going to send me a comforter. That's the Holy Ghost. Amen. That's not a Baptist preacher. It's not a tormentor. He's a comforter. Hallelujah. I found out that he moved in and he took up his abode. And he made me part of his body, took up his abode in my body, sealed me under the day of redemption, washed all my sins away, past, present, and possible sins, and made me as clean in the mind of God as Jesus Christ himself was. Amen. But you know, if you don't know those things, one proof you've really been saved when the devil tries to fill your mind with doubt, if the Holy Ghost is in there, he'll let you recall the place you met him. Amen. I ain't never got over that day when I met him. Thank God. Amen. I do know where I met him. Amen. I tell you something else he'll do. He won't just recall you the place, but he'll let you remember the people to help you get to the place. Hey, amen. I ain't never forgot the folks that God injected in my life along the way. Brother Dana preaches a message on the word and. You can't preach it down there where I live. I done wore that out. But too bad is, amen, all the little ands and little injunctions. Amen. Before I got saved, there wasn't nobody in my family saved. But there was a fellow lived out the road from us. His name was Faye Manning. Amen. He grew tobacco and chewed tobacco. Had more God on with a mouth fellow backer than I've had since I quit. Hallelujah. But he loved sinners. He loved me. He wouldn't let his family come out and stay all night at my house. But he pulled up in front of my house as a boy, blow his horn. He said, hey, David, come on out the house. We're going to cut some watermelon and some cantaloupe, make some homemade ice cream. We go out there and eat them melons and that ice cream and back in and have prayer meeting in the yard. And old Faye get to praying. And before it's over, he get to preaching. And he prayed with a hack and preached with a hack. I like a hack. My problem is I get my hack out of hack. Elf A had that thing down pat. In the morning, I'd hear him. We'd go milk his cows out the barn. We'd be still night there, just a boy. See, this thing didn't just start the day I got in. And old Fade milked his cows, and you could hear him out there praying. And you say, I couldn't understand what he said, but he wasn't talking to me. But I kind of could tell. I'm talking about daylight. I could kind of tell when he broke through the clouds. He'd call my name out. He'd call my family. Hey, I'm telling you, I ain't never forgot the phone. He helped me get to that place. Wow, hallelujah. Well, let me hurry here. I'll tell you something else. He'll recall the place. Remember the people that helped get you to the place. Then he'll reassure your heart with peace. See, the devil hates it when you got peace. I remember that morning I got saved. My grandpa and grandma went to that church. They used to make moonshine liquor. I told this story before, but my grandpa, when I was 14 years old, in a drunken rage, drinking moonshine liquor, I sassed him one day, used some cuss words, talking back to him. Before that day was over, he shot me with a 12-gauge shotgun, left me laying in a patch of woods up behind his house. It's kind of funny this morning, but it wasn't funny that day. I tell you one thing, it broke me from sucking eggs. I never did sass him again. Amen. Hey, so don't tell me how rough you had it. They got saved. They go to that church. Amen. I went forward that morning. Somebody said, did you say the sinner's prayer? I guess I did. Every prayer I ever prayed was a sinner's prayer. What I know about a sinner's prayer? They said, you go down the Romans Road? I know. I drove down Marguerite Drive. Amen. I just know what that preacher was saying was real. I was ashamed of what it was and how I lived. I cried out, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And God, fill my heart with peace. Fill my heart with peace. Hey, thank God Almighty. Preacher Winston, he's in heaven. All of us in heaven. He said, would you like to say a word, David? They all knew me, been praying for me. I said, preacher, I've never felt such peace. Amen. Hallelujah. I love it. I love it. Well, Satan hates salvation's place. Amen. Somebody's away, you don't have to remember. Well, can you imagine Apostle Paul forgetting about his Damascus Road experience? Can you imagine that Philippian jailer forgetting about his jailhouse conversion? Can you imagine that woman, John chapter 4, the adulterous woman, forgetting about that day she went to that well? She'd been that well before, but she'd never been there when God was sitting there waiting on her. How about that demonic, gathering demonic, Mark 5, Luke 8, amen, running around naked. He was a Baptist before he got right. Hallelujah. How am I getting how that went over good? Amen. You can't even get Baptists put clothes on in the wintertime. Crazy bunch, amen. How am I doing right there? You know what that whole boat ride was in Mark 4? Teach them fellas something about faith when they thought they was going under. But the whole boat ride was to reach that demonic that's laying over there on the beach. That's where people get naked anyhow, at the beach. I don't go to the beach. We go to the coast, don't we? Same way like medications. Say people don't take dope. We take medication. Amen. They call them antidepressant. We call them downers. They call them diet pills. We call it speed. Ain't that right? Hallelujah. Only difference is when you got a prescription, you won't go to jail. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, let me get done. My. Satan hates salvation's place. He hates the secret place. But thou, when thou prayest, enter in thy closet, shut the door, and pray thy Father in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But thou, when thou prayest, not if. Amen. I struggle right there, that disciplined prayer life. He said, enter into thy closet. That's a private place. Shut the door. That's where the struggle comes. Getting the door shut. Amen. It's a struggle. Be sober if he visits you forever. So the devil's a roaring lion walking about, seeking whom he may devour. Resisting the faith. Prayer is an act of faith. And the devil hates it when you have real faith. Amen. He's going to keep the door open. It's a struggle, ain't it? My brother's gone, passed away now, but my brother was a bully when I was a kid. He beat me up all the time. I was afraid of him. And anytime he got near me, he'd punch me, spit on me, burn me with a cigarette lighter one time. Amen. When I got grown, got right with God, I whipped him one day and pleaded 1 John 1:9. I said, how's that feel? Amen. But the truth of the matter is, and went on my way. But I was afraid of him when I was a boy. And I'd run to that room, and if I had the doorknob this way, he'd have the doorknob. That's the way the devil is when you try to pray. He said, boy, if I get that door open, I'm going to whoop you all day long. He meant it. But if I knew I could get the door latched, if I could get the door shut and get it latched, I'd be all right. I'd be all right. Yeah, that's what the devil, he don't want you to pray. Yeah, man, I'm telling you, it's a private place. It's a problem-solving place. And you all know all that stuff. And it's, amen, the devil hates it when you don't have when you have peace. And he loves it when you have problems. And he tries to keep you from getting in the closet and talking to the Lord about them, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. He doesn't want you to get that off of him. He wants you to be beat up all day. Well, he hates salvation place. Hates the secret place. He hates the sacred place. He hates the church house. Amen. Not forsake the assembly ourselves together, as the manner of some is, exhorting one another even so much more as we see the day approach. We need this more now than anybody's ever. Have I got any, how much time I got? I don't want y'all look like I've done went over my time, or you're in, some of you look like you're in a dentist office right now. Hallelujah. Hey, I'm trying to preach here. Amen. 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 I got the light. Okay, I see it. But hey, I tell you, I love the church. We know we passed in death and life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. He that hateth his brother is a murderer. You know no murderer. Have eternal life abiding. Hereby perceive we love of God because he laid down his life for us. But to also lay down our life for our brother. If a man have this world's good, seeth his brother have need, shut up his bowels of compassion. How dwelleth the love of God? Let us not love in word and in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Amen. I got saved on Sunday morning. Showed back up on Sunday night. For I knew it was a sin not to be there. Hallelujah. Amen. That's right. That's exactly how it is. Amen. Amen. That's right. For him to know do good, do it not to him. It's a sin. Amen. Well, it's a place where we get fed. Take heed, therefore, in yourself and all the flock over thee which the Holy Ghost made you overseer to feed the church of God, which is purchased with his own blood. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, pastors, teachers, for the perfecting of the saint, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of faith, under the knowledge of the Son of God, under a perfect man, under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind and dark by the sleight of men, by the cunning craft, whereby lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth and love may grow up in him in all things, which is ahead, even Christ, from whom the whole body is fitly joined together, that which every joint supplies according to the effectual work and make every part make the increase of the body and the edify itself in love. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the van of their mind, having an understanding dark and being alien from the life of God through the ignorance of the blind heart, who being past feelings have given themselves over to lascivious. Could I get an amen right there? Amen. That's right. That's why you go to church. God teach you something at the church. You get fed there. Amen. I know some folks over home, they won't even go. They won't even go to a dinner. Amen. They say, I don't like somebody else's cooking. Well, put your name on your wife's pot, then you'll know who poisoned you. Hallelujah. Amen. That's right. I just like it, don't you? It's a place where we get fed. Amen. It's a place where we fellowship. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, he's in light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we're not sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth not is, we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we're not sin, we make him a liar, and his word's not in us. I like the fellowship with God's people. Amen. That's a place where we get furnished or get furnished with things we need to stand. That's Ephesians. I tried to quote them a while ago, and you didn't help me none, and I stuttered with it, but I did the best I could. It's a place where we get reminded of things we forget, and there's nothing here most likely we haven't heard. It's just the way somebody else delivers it. Amen. It's the same stuff, but it's just something about it. That's that Bible right there. That's what it do for you. Well, he hates salvation, please. It's a secret place. He hates a sacred place. He hates a separating place. Be not unequal yoked together with the unbeliever. Of what fellowship is righteous and unrighteous? What communion have light with darkness? What concord Christ with Belial? What part he that believeth with an infidel? What agreement hath the temple of God with the idol? For you the temple of God. God shall I dwell in him and walk in them and be their God. Wherefore come out from amongst and be a separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I receive you. I shall be a father, you shall be my son to daughters, saith the Lord. God Almighty, having therefore these promises, dear beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. I talk fast. I drank a whole pot of coffee this morning. I feel like leaping off here. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm wired up. Praise God.
If you can't get the Holy Ghost on you, drink a pot of coffee. Most Baptists don't know the difference. Hey, hallelujah. Hey, I'm no more saved right now with this tie on and these suit clothes on as I was that morning when I walked in there. I smell like a drunk, just a long-haired, miserable hippie. Amen. God took me in just like I looked, like I smelled. Amen. He didn't go tell me to clean nothing up. Come unto me, all you laboring heavy laden. I'll give you rest. I came that morning. God took me in like I looked, but he didn't mean for me to stay that way. Hallelujah. I wore bell-bottom breeches, but they fit me. Hallelujah. You get our age, this part moves up here. You have to do this all the time. Now, I have been in some church where they wear their breeches. You've seen them, ain't you? I've seen them taking up an offering, you know, where their drawers is showing. Looked like they had to bend over to get the keys out of the pocket. How am I doing right there? Hey, man, I'm just telling the truth, ain't I? You got these boys, why their britches too big? Got these women, why theirs too little? They wear them hip hugger britches. Most of them got more hip than them things to hug. You've seen them, ain't you? Hallelujah. How we doing now? Yeah. That's right. Then they wonder why the blouses has been in the dryer too long. They got about that much flesh across their back. You can't help but see that at Walmart. Y'all not see that at church. Then they want to put a decal on their back. Yeah. Trying to fit in. Be not conformed this world, be a transformer. Yes, if the world's doing it, we don't need to do it. They put that on there when they're about 16, 18 years old, trying to fit in with a new fad. Put that on there when everything's in its proper place. You put that on when you're 16, 18, you get my age, 66, not going to be on your back, going to be on the back of your knees. That's what gravity does to the skin. Ain't we having a time now? Hallelujah. Well, I'm about to embarrass my little old wife there. Amen. Well, he hates salvation place, hates the secret place, hates the sacred place, hates the separating place. But you can have all that going for you and still not be surrendered. You can still not be surrendered. Surrender. I want to surrender, don't you? I heard this illustration years ago. Never forgot it. This New York Yankee. No offense now, if you're a Yankee, if you'd liked it up there, you wouldn't have came down here. Hallelujah, amen. This is it. This fella, he was a converted Roman Catholic, been a devout Roman Catholic for 40 years. He's in heaven now. And his name was Hank Humboldt. I was in a mission conference. And he was preaching on feather-blowing Christians. And he had that New York Bronx accent. And he said, talking about this Italian Catholic Pope in days gone by, he said, hundreds of years ago, there was an Italian Roman Catholic Pope. He said, the Pope, he got a sick. He go to the doctor here, the doctor say, Pope, you got a bad heart. And if you don't get a new heart pretty soon, Pope, you're going to die. You got to have somebody be willing to give your heart for you, Pope. You're going to die. So he goes back to Rome and got all them priests and cardinals and all that mess gathered around him. He said, the Pope, what did the doctor say? The Pope got a bigger problem. The Pope got a better heart. And if the Pope don't get a new heart pretty soon, the Pope is going to die. Somebody got to be willing to die and give the heart to the Pope. And they said, what are you going to do? You go tell the people love the Pope. They'd be willing to die for the Pope. So he got out on that platform, hundreds of thousands of Italian Roman Catholics, all of them at the same time. I love the Pope all of my heart. I love the Pope all of my heart. He said, well, the Pope got a bigger problem. Somebody got to be willing to die and give the heart to the Pope. He said, well, go back to the Pope. Pope, we got a big problem. Everybody loves the Pope, want to die for the Pope, give the heart to the Pope. What do you think we do? I tell you, I got an idea. You take this feather, and you take this feather, whoever this feather falls on, that's the one that's going to have to die and give the heart, give the life for the Pope. So they go back out on that platform. Hundreds of thousands of Roman Catholics, Italian, all of them. I love the Pope. I give the Pope. I want the Pope to have in my heart. He said, whoever this feather falls on, that's the one going to die for the Pope. Oh, love the Pope, give the Pope. I want the Pope to have in my heart. They drop that feather, the wind to blow. And I love the Pope, give the Pope of my heart. Give the Pope of my heart. Not today, Lord. I know you died for me. Everything I am and everything you've given me.
Everything about me that's worth anything, you've done it. But I can't do that today. They love me with their lips, but their heart are far from me. I really wish I could just totally quit being a feather-blowing Christian. I'm done. Thank you.
Don't you appreciate that preaching?